You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Monday, December 4th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, tax bill passes Republican Senate by one vote. Now to the House for a vote on sending it to a conference. We'll tell you what's in it, what's out of it, what's it going to mean. Meanwhile, Trump freaking out about Flynn. Apparently, they're starting to frisk people in the White House to make sure they're not wearing wires.
I'm not paranoid. You're paranoid.
Yes. You're the paranoid one.
Everybody turn on the radios in the office. Republicans return to the mean, now support child sex predator Roy Moore. U.S. begins planned and massive military drills in South Korea. That should be fun. White House hinting that it plans tomorrow to name Jerusalem as the recognized Israeli capital. This tax bill will starve public schools of resources, and Grassley and Hatch reveal really what this is all about. According to the president's attorneys, the president can't obstruct justice. Seriously.
Totally can't do it.
U.S. boycotting the U.N. migration talks. New York is the safest it's been in terms of murders since the 1950s, despite the fact that we were supposed to have runaway crime after stop and frisk was rolled back. And independent truckers plan massive protests around the country today to deal with electronic transmission of where they are and what they're doing. Yes, all this and more on today's Majority Report. Folks, got a lot of housekeeping business to get rid of. Excuse me. God bless you. But I want to start first with what we had reported on Friday, just when we went on air. I guess literally moments before we went on air, ABC's Brian Ross had reported that Michael Flynn was going to testify. This was according to a confidant. Michael Flynn was going to testify that Donald Trump had ordered him as a candidate to make contact with the Russians. Now, we're sitting here, we're not reporters in in the strictest sense of the word, right? Occasionally we'll make phone calls. I will speak to other people. I think we're journalists when we interview, of course, but we're not going out and chasing down the stories, the beats of the story yet. I think we feel we have a responsibility to point out certain aspects of news that may be widely reported by reputable outfits. We still, we still feel we have a responsibility to you. This is how we responded. I was talking to Cliff Schechter, I think everybody here shared the sentiment on Friday on this news. Just the qualification we added at the time. But let's for a moment just talk about this because. The idea, I mean, it's certainly, now look, let me just start with why I am a little bit skeptical about this. This is not coming.
Which, can we just so I understand, which part of what is it that you're skeptical about?
I am a little skeptical about what Brian Ross said he heard from a confidant that, and that's the way he called it, a confidant, that Flynn was going to testify that Trump ordered him to make contact with the Russians. And that's the first part of it. And then we just cut out a little bit of my meandering there because, again, this was information that we heard moments before. So I was sort of working this out. But this is, you know, the first perspective I think that people should take when you hear any of this stuff.
Yeah.
You would imagine that the defense attorneys, they're not going to screw up this deal. That Mueller, if Mueller wanted to, Mueller doesn't necessarily want this out there. Now, maybe he does. I don't know. But I would imagine they wouldn't want it out there, that he's going to hold some of this stuff back. And
sure.
It's quite possible that somebody who doesn't know what Flynn is going to testify to goes out there and creates certain expectations that end up not being true. You know, the classic rat effed situation.
Yeah.
So I just think that people should, you know, take that reporting with a grain of salt, because it may be that a confidant said this, but that's not necessarily what's going to happen. And it turns out that a couple hours after that report from Brian Ross, he was suspended for 4 weeks without pay after incorrectly reporting that Flynn would testify that Trump had directed him to make contact with Russian officials while Trump was still a candidate. Mr. Ross's initial report, and I'm reading from ABC now, said he was informed by a confidant of Flynn's would have been a bombshell revelation in the continuing investigation. ABC said the confidant later clarified that Mr. Trump's request to Mr. Flynn during the campaign had been to find ways to repair relations with Russia. The directive to contact Russian officials on topics that included working together against the Islamic State came after the election, the network said. So it's still unclear to me whether or not Brian Ross got a little bit hoodwinked here or just somehow misunderstood what the confidant had said, or somehow just misspoke. Nevertheless, he is suspended, and that is why you've got to be skeptical with these reports as they first come out. Now, it does appear, however, that that has been of little consolation to Donald Trump. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of tweets he's put out about Brian Ross, but if it's literally, if it's under 100, then it suggests to me that that's not necessarily, he doesn't feel like he's in the clear here. So folks, I just want to give you an update about what's going on. And if I was not, if people perceive that I have been a little bit circumspect in thanking people for the support that we have gotten from our audience, or have been a little bit too quick to tell people, like, don't do this or don't do that, understand that we don't really know what the status is of our situation with advertisers. I don't really know I don't, you know, it's not like MSNBC is sending me a document that's saying you're still part of the team, dude. You know, that's, they don't do things like that. So, to a certain extent, we've been trying to direct people to do stuff that isn't going to exacerbate the issue. So, and of course, I'm talking about the Mike Cernovich, who, and, you know, he's far more disgusting character than I realized. In part, I had the realization because of folks like our regular listener, Mindy, and others who have compiled some of the horrible things that he said on Twitter. I mean, it's sort of maybe this is, you know, there's a certain amount of projection involved in this.
Irony abounds.
Yes. And let me also just say, Michael, that is,
yeah.
I know you're not, you know, maybe you need to add just a little bit more parody to the impersonation of Cernovich.
Is there a way of doing it with
that
less
doing.
Precision, you're saying?
I'm saying it's so spot on that sometimes it's
a little painful for
right,
everybody.
Right, yeah. But
I don't know how I could soften it.
I mean, you're nailing it. Anyways, but the point being that the amount of support that folks have given us has been really overwhelming. If you go and search on Twitter about this now, Cernovich's attempts to smear me are just being flooded. And it's a weird metric to use if you're going to decide whether or not you're going to side with the Nazi who's lying or the guy who was using satire to shame people who were protecting a child rapist. One would think that would be sort of like, you don't even need to see how people are reacting to that. But that's just not the way it works. And I understand that. That's fine. And there are times where, you know, certainly in my radio career and as people know as an activist and people have been involved in these things, companies should be ashamed of working with certain people. And outlets should be ashamed of hiring certain people. So that dynamic, I think, is a valid one. But it's hard for corporations and companies to sort of make a determination, where should I be on this? So, you know, continue to support our sponsors. If you want to, send an email and don't even necessarily have to reference this. Just say, hey, sponsor, I'm really, thank you so much for supporting the Majority Report. So, you know, if you've bought something from our sponsors or you've heard sponsors on this show, we had to take the list down because Mike Cernovich's friends were trying to use
Where
it
Where did the list go? Suffering sucked.
But you've listened to this program. Any sponsor that you can think of, send them an email. We have some great sponsors, and they have been very supportive. Just Coffee has been fantastic. Again, they're a movement supporter. They are a fair trade company. They were giving coffee to people who were marching in Madison 6-7 years ago now. They're co-op owned. And just coincidentally, they're giving you 30% off up until December 15th. MR Holiday is the coupon code. Go use that code. They ship it to you for free. That is a quadruple win there. But feel free to reach out to any sponsor and say nothing more than, hey, thank you for sponsoring the Majority Report. It would be good for them to see that there are more of non-Nazis than Nazi types. Also, I should tell you this now. If you're an adult, especially one with kids, you know you need life insurance. It's super easy to put it off. Nobody likes to think of the idea that, like, wait, am I ever going to die? Or just, like, I've got too many other things to do right now.
Or, like, the plan that we have to knock you off
right.
is dependent on this.
Yeah, I'm not sure
where
that
about
falls.
Your family.
Look, and the other problem is that shopping for life insurance, it's confusing. It takes forever, and you have to speak to an agent just to get a quote. Policy Genius lets you compare life insurance from the top providers online. It takes as little as 5 minutes. If you're busy, 1 minute per day for 5 days. If you find a policy you like, you want to know more, you can talk to one of their licensed experts. But if you're just browsing, you don't have to talk to anyone. Browse away. And they don't just do life insurance. You can get disability insurance, renter's insurance, pet insurance, compare health insurance. So if you need life insurance, but you've been putting it off, try Policy Genius. You can compare life insurance online on your own terms in your own time. PolicyGenius.com, because you should only be forced to speak to an agent if you've committed a federal crime. There you go. Timely, ladies and gentlemen. Super timely.
I don't understand the copy.
So let me just wrap up my other conversation by saying thank you. Not only do you as listeners and even more so obviously as members make this show possible, but you also basically are our firewall. And I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate it, and I'm not always the best about articulating such things. I think, you know, other hosts are better at that than I am, but I do really appreciate it. And, you know, my only, to be honest with you, my only reservation is that, you know, we need to have a lot of activism and this type of energy to deal with this tax bill, to be totally honest with you. And we are about probably three quarters of the way to where it needs to be to pass. It's a disaster in a myriad of ways. And it's just really bad. And I don't even think there's a full sense of just how bad this is. But here is Bernie Sanders talking about, understand that something like 65% of the benefits here of these tax cuts go to the top 1% in this country. And remember all the things, you're not hearing the postcard thing so much anymore. Remember how it was all our taxes were going to be on a postcard? What happened to that? That went away. But here is Bernie Sanders articulating just how bad this bill is.
Think about what's going on here today. I think this is in many ways an historic day, a day that historians will look back on December 1st, 2007. And they will conclude that today is a day of one of the great robberies, act of criminal activities, if you like, in the modern history of this country, because the federal treasury is being looted tonight. As we speak, there are lobbyists all over Capitol Hill writing down in handwriting amendments to this bill to give hundreds of millions, if not billions, of tax breaks, billions of dollars in tax breaks to large corporations. As we speak, they're probably still writing those amendments. Meanwhile, this Republican-led Senate has been unable to reauthorize the CHIP program, the health insurance program for low-income children.
All right, so here you have Bernie Sanders fully characterizing what's going on. It's just another example. You know, we've had libertarians who call into this program, and like, you know, you don't want government picking winners and losers. Government, by the fact of its very existence, picks winners and losers. There is no organizing of people, really, in any fashion whatsoever, that doesn't end up picking winners and losers. The issue is how many losers should there be? How many winners? What is the disparity? Does it have to be winner take all? There's a whole lot of subset of other questions that are being answered every time the government passes a piece of legislation, every time a regulation is drawn up. You know, here's a good example. We're not going to allow lead in our candy from China. Loser, Chinese candy manufacturers. Winner, kids who don't want to have neurological problems. I mean, that's just an example, right? But it goes with every decision that's being made. And in this instance, understand what's happening. There's nothing fundamentally problematic with tax reform. But the number of people who are winning, which I would say are probably like, you know, maybe certainly 1,800 families with the estate tax. And then maybe you could expand it out to like a couple, maybe a dozen, 10,000, you know, several hundred thousand people at the expense of the rest of the country is stunning. In that clip that we just heard from Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders did the old, like, oh, there are lobbyists running around scribbling in the margins of the thing, which is sort of like a rhetorical flourish, right? It's a metaphor. They're out there, they're scribbling things in the margins as they do this. That's how poorly planned this bill, and that's how much lobbyists are actually controlling this process. And it's a funny metaphor, except for in this situation, it's not a metaphor. Here's Dick Durbin with a copy of the bill that he received. Now look, unlike the 50 to 100 people I interviewed at that Glenn Beck pre-Tea Party rally in Washington, who were talking about the idea that the healthcare bill was over 100 pages or 1,000 pages, whatever it was, and that we should have a law. You can't make any legislation more than 3 or 4 pages. I don't care that a piece of legislation is 450 pages long. It's complicated. And I know process arguments hold no water with the American public. So the fact that they just did this bill and they are changing trillions of dollars of our economy just within like a couple of days, essentially. But this is pretty stunning. The idea that they would put the bill out with chicken scrawl on it that's going to maybe become law depending on who ends up. You got to put it in the Federal Registry, and if they can't even read what's there, somebody's going to choose.
And you stick around until 5 o'clock on a Friday night, and you hand out the work product for all the members of the Senate to take a look at before they vote on changes in the tax code that will affect the people they represent. This is what happens. 479 pages are handed to us. Now, they tell us that some of this has been around for a while, some of it's new. They don't tell us which part is new and which part is old. But lucky for us, on K Street, and there's nothing wrong with lobbyists, but on K Street, where the federal lobbyists live, they are following this really closely, and they have given us basically a cheat sheet, a scorecard, so we can figure out, at least generally speaking, how many changes have been made in the 479 pages since the last time we saw this proposed bill.
Pause it for 1 second. Now, I want you to just contemplate that. The lawmakers do not have access to this enough to create their own cheat sheet, right? Theoretically, they should have a staff that is able to look at this stuff. And maybe we just don't, these people don't have enough of a staff. But on top of which, they didn't even have access to it. The people who had access to it were just the lobbyists. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with lobbyists. I just don't think they should be running the country.
I defy any member of the Senate to stand here, take an oath that they have read this and understand what in the world it means to businesses and families and individuals. And if they want to take that oath, and maybe some will, then I refer them to, ladies and gentlemen of the American jury, I refer them to Exhibit A, page 257 out of the 479. Why do I pick this page? Because they didn't have time to type it. They wrote it out in longhand. We're not even teaching cursive in a lot of schools anymore, but someone on the staff knew it enough to try. The problem is they wrote it in cursive along the margin here. It's about subchapter S corporations and how much tax they pay and what they don't pay. I defy anybody to read it because the problem was when they copied it, they chopped off lines. So there aren't full sentences here. They're just kind of like little phrases and words. This is your United States Senate at work. This is what happens when you push through a bill late at night, desperate to pass it, without really stopping to ask yourself, will this make us a stronger nation? Will this help legitimate businesses that want to expand and create jobs? Is this good for American families?
I don't even, how do they put that in the Federal Register? Like, I mean, I has there ever been like this would be, this is stunning.
Like fills out the bottom, like, you get the point. Give them it's just, what they want.
That guy or gal, whoever it is that's going to transpose this into the Federal Register is the most powerful person in the country at this point.
It could end up becoming the most progressive tax bill
and,
ever written.
Right, yes. Everything prior to the above and below is null, and then come back around here, work it in.
We expanded CHIP by 70%. What happened?
It's amazing. It really is amazing. And, you know, I think... Well, let's...
I haven't had time to work through it yet, but Eric Levitz, who we've had on the program, just put up a piece in New York Magazine saying that the Senate GOP accidentally killed some of its donors' favorite tax breaks in the Senate bill because they were moving too fast.
They'll move it back in.
Of course. Well, that's what conference is for.
Yes, exactly.
Conferences to complete the hustle on Susan Collins and her sort of like dumb little demands that are already being pushed back on, and then to make sure like, whoa. Let's make sure that there is not a single stone unturned.
Right.
To
God
rob
forbid
the
we went
people.
Through all this and we're going to be pissing off Sheldon Adelson.
Like, where was the Macau stuff? Hold on. Why? Everything
is
else
there
is
enough
here.
Money
I see my
to...
children are starving for my kids to get a tax break. I see some good things on the unions not being able to get sick leave. But where is the tax subsidy for Chinese
I'm
business
sorry,
arrangements?
Am I reading this wrong? I don't see the dropping of the nuclear weapon in the desert in Iran. What?
I told you it wouldn't hurt a fly. It would be a warning.
So here is Orrin Hatch. Now, there are some on the right who are complaining that apparently Orrin Hatch's words are being taken out of context. And he didn't say there's not enough funding for a CHIP, or he didn't say, according to them, that we couldn't do a CHIP because there wasn't enough money. The sad part is that he did, and he's promising that they're going to do CHIP the right way, of course. But he's also making an argument that there's so much fat in this, whole welfare state thing.
There's yeah, I got the point.
When can we, this
positive.
Is not a giveaway.
I should also say this is Sherrod Brown arguing with him. And, you know, it's, you really get a sense of like how petty some of these people in the Senate are, because you can see how much other people have to feel like they have to kiss their ass. Particularly when they don't, you know, they're in the minority.
This is not a giveaway. This is something we've done bipartisanly. Is there something
let
we can do to
let me take the floor back?
Children's health insurance program.
Nobody believes more in the CHIP program than I. I invented it. I was the one who wrote it. Kennedy came over and became the one who helped put it through.
We recognize that, Mr. Chairman.
Of course I do. I don't think I do everything on my own here.
What?
I've got to have good Democrat friends to do it. I don't think you do either. But let me tell you something.
Pause it. See the bald guy sitting down, his aide next to him, just seems totally confused. Like Orrin Hatch is using all the wrong syntax here. But don't get distracted by that. Don't get distracted by that. Let's hear Orrin Hatch make his argument. You tell me what Orrin Hatch is saying here. They just did a bill where there's going to be $1.5 trillion of tax cuts unaccounted for. Now, look, I happen to know that the U.S. government can spend as much as it needs to or wants to on these things. He's under the impression that it can't. So it's really just a matter about priorities for him. Go ahead.
Tell you something. We're going to do CHIP. There's no question about it in my mind. And it's got to be done the right way. But the reason CHIP's having trouble is because we don't have any money anymore.
Pause it. The reason CHIP's having trouble is we don't have any money anymore. They have just given away $1 trillion to wealthy people. $1 trillion. And the reason why we don't have CHIP, and we're going to do it, we're going to do it the right way, but let me make it clear, is the reason why we don't have it. Right? I mean, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, except for the part that he actually said. It's because as much money as we've just given away to our funders, we just, none of those are young children who are desperate and need health insurance. And recall now, like, there's also a huge price to be paid in delaying it because the states are relying on this and they have no sense. But let Orrin Hatch continue.
Having troubles because we don't have any money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And to just add more and more spending and more and more spending, and you can look at the rest of the bill for the more and more spending. I happen to think CHIP has done a terrific job for people who really needed the help. I've taken the position around here for my whole Senate service. I believe in helping those who cannot help themselves, but would if they could. I have a rough time wanting to spend billions and billions and trillions of dollars to help people who won't help themselves, won't lift a finger, and expect the federal government to do everything.
Pause it for a second. Now, first of all, the idea that we spend trillions of dollars, the idea that there's really that many people out there who won't lift a finger to help themselves, and we're spending billions upon billions. I'd like to know who those people are. I mean, that's what I wish Sherrod Brown was to come back with. Could you want to send me a list of those people? I mean, maybe you can't, you don't know the individuals. We want to give me a demographic breakdown. Do you want to give me any sense of who you're talking about?
Response that graphs is black people.
Well, I think you know.
I think you know. All right. They come from certain communities.
Go back a little bit. I just want to hear this old coot.
Kids who aren't offering to do work at their schools, janitorial work, in exchange for being part of the CHIP program.
Right.
Back to Newt Gingrich proposals.
To spend billions and billions and trillions of dollars to help people who won't help themselves, won't lift a finger, and expect the federal government to do everything.
Senator Yield again.
Unfortunately, the liberal philosophy has created millions of people that way who believe everything they are or ever hope to be depend upon the federal government rather than the opportunities that this great country grants them. And I've got to say, I think it's pretty hard to argue against these comments.
Not really.
If you look it over for decades now, we've been spending more than we have, building more and more federal programs, some of which are lousy, some of which are well-intended, and some of which are actually good, like the CHIP program. We're going to get CHIP through. There's no question about that.
Yeah, there you go. Don't worry. But just know that when we do it, we're going to be holding our nose because of all the other, you know, ne'er-do-wells who are living high, getting up to $200 a month to eat food, or are getting some type of like free ride where they can see one out of every 10 doctors, you know, in really just the most extreme cases.
Wait, we finally did find the Republican dividing line, though. I mean, this is it. It's like the only distinction inside the modern Republican Party is like, I think your parents should die and starve in front of you, but maybe you should get an inhaler, potentially, if we can get around to it, versus you should die too. No inhaler for you, kid.
It's
like, that's literally the distinction.
The thing he says about the liberal philosophy creating millions of people dependent, like, you could see that on Stormfront.
But that's also, right. Well, you could also see it with,
well, that's where Stormfront gets it.
And, well, and Mr. 47% has been rebranded as a resistance leader. No, Mitt Romney outlined all of this. He said they're 40%,
47% of the
takers. And he included, by the way, things like food. Like, you know, I mean, that list, he could have been like, and they think they're entitled to air.
Well, can I just say something about the Democrats as well here? Because I know that, you know, they voted against this bill on very partisan lines. Good for them. But some of the stuff he was saying kind of reminds me of stuff I heard the Clintons saying in the 90s. about poor people and welfare reform. I mean,
well, that's what they signed.
Yeah. I mean, Democrats are acting like this came out of fucking nowhere, but, you know, they had some help, and this has been, this movement has been occurring for a long time. I mean, we're going to learn about social reproduction theory more tomorrow, but just moving from the idea that the work of raising the next generation of workers is work that people should be compensated for, and that's what welfare did, to the idea that that is not work, and a job, any job, is sort of the first priority. Like when Hillary Clinton said, these people are no longer deadbeats. They're out there being productive, after, you know, she helped pass some legislation that tied aid to
this is the
being
welfare,
in a low paid
this is
job,
when,
basically.
When aid to financially dependent children, when you moved off of where there was job requirements for in welfare reform, and this is the Welfare Reform Act, I think it was of 96. And there was, I mean, to be fair, it was Republican House and Senate. And Bill Clinton did support it. And there was a big infrastructure in the Democratic Party that supported it. There was also a decent amount of protest at the time against it.
Yeah, she completely alienated her friends from the Children's Defense Fund for many, many years.
Yes, absolutely.
He campaigned on it for re-election.
Absolutely.
I still think, even Democrats like Bill Bradley and Daniel Patrick Moynihan, of all people, who helped instigate some of this thinking going back to the 60s, voted against it.
Yes. But certainly it didn't help. And for people to reify, and, you know, this is something that we've been talking about for a long time. I mean, Bill Clinton, the welfare reform, among other major initiatives, which seriously undercut the ability of Democrats to fight back on this. Now, with that said, the idea that there were no Democrats who voted for this is pretty stunning. The idea that you have that the caucus has maintained is pretty stunning. It wasn't the case under Bush. It wasn't under the case under Reagan. These are the only times we've had this type of tax reform. I'm convinced a big part of it is because of Trump. And if it was Rubio, then this guy, Joe Manchin, would have probably voted for it. In fact, here he is on the floor of the Senate lamenting the fact that he couldn't vote for it, which is always, that's always nice to see.
I want to thank my good friend from Senator from Oregon for allowing me to say a couple of things. I want to put this in perspective. I don't think there's a person more bipartisan than I am. I don't think there's a person that has not signed more bills in a bipartisan way with my Republican friends than I have, who has voted on more Republican bills or more Republican amendments than I have as a Democrat. And I'm really so frustrated that I thought that we can make this place work. That was my purpose for being here. I truly did everything I possibly could. I reached out. The White House was kind enough to reach out to me. I sat down. I talked to all of the people who are in charge of writing this legislation from the White House. I sat down with my colleagues. I gave them some suggestions and ideas. We brought people together thinking we could find a bipartisan way. And Mr. President, I would tell you this, as I see it unfold tonight, this has been designed not to have even me as one Democrat on the bill. And I want to be. I want to be part of a reform. For the first time in 30 years, I look back at Ronald Reagan. He was a hero to all of us. And he had 97 votes. 97 senators voted for his legislation that he crafted.
There you go.
Yeah, let's go back to the days when Democrats worked with Ronald Reagan to slash the social safety net.
Couldn't agree more with
I really
the
enjoyed
sentiment.
His interview with Cenk, and he kept calling him Jenks. It was awesome. He's like, no, that's a real good point there, Jenks. And he said, if you want to just watch, though, like a kind of, he's sort of out of step, I think, in many ways with, like, not just the kind of modern Democratic Party, but 2017 in many ways. But
he's from West Virginia.
Well, no,
with all due respect to our West Virginian friends, Donald Trump is up by
minimal
still
respect.
50
no,
some odd, 60%
yeah, no, he's
approval
popular
rating
there. But the point there was that he was just, if you want to see, like, I think almost vintage style Bill Clinton, like, Cenk asked him a question even down to, like, why he was one of only five Democrats, I think, who approved of a new arms sale package to Saudi Arabia to help, you know, sort of fund their deployments in Yemen. And he was just like, you know, Cenk, I think our European partners don't provide the same kind of training that our guys do. So I'm real concerned. And I wouldn't call it collateral damage. I'd call it killing innocent people, which is why I want our guys training them to take less risk. I was like, yes.
Well done.
Yes, Joe Manchin. How about that, Jenks? Take that.
Well practiced.
That was so good.
We're going to mitigate by selling them more weapons. We're going to mitigate civilian
sold weapons to Saudi, literally creating the worst humanitarian crisis in the planet right now. And arming them up was an act of human rights, Jenks.
We're going to talk more about that because Thomas Friedman has come back and maybe it's not quite a suck on this moment, but it certainly suggests one might be coming. I want to just go over a little bit of what's in maybe in the fun half we'll go over the specifics of what's in the bill in the Senate bill. Like, we don't know what this is, and one of the things that's been hard, I think, from an organizational standpoint. From a fighting back on this standpoint, with healthcare, it was a lot more digestible what was going on. A lot of people are going to lose their healthcare. Now, under this, 13 million people will be losing their healthcare if the individual mandate is repealed. People on Medicaid, people in the exchanges, they'll be losing their health care. But the bottom line is, it's much harder to say to people, like, if you are, you know, if you make this much money 10 years out, you're going to be paying more taxes. And then it's a function of which state you're in as to whether or not your taxes are deductible and how much that's going to hurt. It's very hard to find some messaging on this that apparently would motivate people. Now, with that said, there are 12 Republicans who voted yes in the House on this bill, changed their votes, the reconciliation bill that they're going to send to conference dies. I'm going to read off a list of 20 House members who voted yes and are in the most vulnerable position to defeat because they're in Democratic-leaning districts. Okay? California 10th, Jeff Denham. California 21st, David Velado. California 25th, Steve Knight. California 39, Ed Royce. California 45th, Mimi Walters. Colorado 6th, Mike Kaufman. Now, California, high state taxes. You know, it's a pretty much of a slam dunk. You're going to make me pay more taxes. Say that to these Republicans. Mike Kaufman in Colorado, Carlos Curbelo, and Ilana Ross Layton in Florida, Rod Blum in Iowa, Claudia Tenney in New York, John Katko in New York, Michael Turner in Ohio, David Joyce in Ohio, Ryan Costello, Brian Fitzpatrick, and Charles Dent. Isn't Charlie Dent going to retire anyways in Pennsylvania?
I think Layton's retiring as well.
Will Hurd in Texas, Barbara Comstock in Virginia, Jamie Beutler in Washington, and David Reichardt in Washington. I think a couple of those people are actually resigning.
I think Reichardt, isn't that? I think that might be Ray Gunn's guy. We've got to ask about that.
But listen, even if
no, Newhouse,
if you're in like New York or you're in California or you're in Illinois or New Jersey, and even if your congressperson is voting against this, you tell them you vote for Paul Ryan to be the leader of your party and he's bringing this bill up. I mean, that has to get into That has to enter the vernacular. Like, you can't escape the implications of this bill if you're supporting the party that is supporting him. And that is why, you know, Roy Moore in Alabama is counting on the fact that people are going up there and voting against Nancy Pelosi when they decide to pull the lever for him, a guy who, by all accounts, was a dangerous enough of a child sex predator that they wouldn't let him go to the mall.
Mr. District Attorney, you're going to have to leave the mall and have a good Sunday now.
Please step away from the Spencer gifts.
Girls want some ice cream. I got some time before I got to prepare this anti-civil rights case.
Sir, the people at Orange Julius have already told you multiple occasions that you will not be getting served here.
We are only selling you a cotton candy for yourself. Mr. Assistant District Attorney.
No longer. Roy, you know we're not allowed to serve you more than one Orange Julius, okay?
I think maybe America deserves to fall. And I think maybe when I do those comments, like, you know, sometimes when you look at like a Roy Moore story, we should be taking over for jihadists. Maybe I'll stop hiding behind the Nation of Islam.
Right, exactly.
We should be taken over by Hezbollah.
One more story just to hammer this home. The Senate bill allows, and they've taken out that fetuses can now save money tax-free, incidentally. That they pulled that out of the bill. Because I guess maybe they couldn't figure out quite exactly how to have the fetuses sign the documents, maybe. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
Just it wasn't legible in the handwriting. They'll fix it in conference.
Medical innovation.
Right now, parents can put money away in a 529 program. It's administered by in all the states. Can put money away for a kid's college education, any higher education. So, you know, you manage to put away 100, 200, 300 bucks a year. You can put away, I don't know what the limit is, but obviously it's a better break if you're wealthy enough to be able to save money at the end of the day. But it's money that if you start when your kid is born, hopefully, depending on, you know, anywhere from a couple of grand to 10, 15, 20, I mean, the amount grows. And this is to pay for universities. The last night, apparently, or I should say, I don't know if it was last night, but Ted Cruz, and there was a late night vote from Mike Pence, entered into this bill that 529s were now available to pay for private schools or homeschooling.
Sweet.
Or tutoring. Now, here's the point. One, if you live in a state, let's say like New York or California, where you have high state taxes because they're providing services for you, that will no longer be deductible. Depending on whether or not the Senate or House provisions hold, some portion of your estate tax might be. I mean, your property tax. So it is putting pressure on states to lower their state taxes and provide less services. In the meantime, what it's also doing with this 529 thing is it's encouraging wealthy people, maybe people even in the middle class, who might be subject to these state and local taxes, to shelter that money in 529s. So I can either pay now an increase in taxes of, let's say, I don't know, $5,000, $10,000. Maybe, I mean, for some people, $20,000. I have no idea. I don't have a sense of the number. But let's say it's $5,000. Or I can put that $5,000 into a 529, use it for private school when the kid goes to junior high. I'm then starving the state of funds that are no longer eligible to be taxed. I am also starving the public school that my kid would have attended from funds because there's less students there. And I'm transferring this money to a private school, and it's usually a parochial school. That's why Mike Pence is running over there to do this. So this has like sort of a double negative effect on the commons. It's really, really horrible. It's a big, this is Betsy DeVos's, you know, this is her fantasy.
Reason for being.
All right. So just one more thing. And, we'll talk about it. In the Senate bill, just as an update, the PhD, the stuff that we talked about are not there. Maybe they're when they come out of conference. Again, we don't know. But so contact your senators, contact your congresspeople, even if they're Republicans, even if they voted against it. Super important. All right, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half. Don't forget, folks, you can join the Majority Report by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. And it is your memberships that make the free show possible. And the member show possible, obviously. Even more than we've said in the past. Significantly more. And what it does is it insulates us from attacks from neo-Nazis, full Nazis, alt-righters, whomever it is. Because maybe they'll all send you an email with a link to the tweet and say, will you please stop supporting the Majority Report? But good luck to them. So head over to jointhemajorityreport.com. We have a special, Mike Cervantes Can Kiss My Ass membership level now.
Third level.
There you go.
Level.
Comes with a thote bag.
Thote bag.
And that does not come with a thote bag.
Dating primer. Got to go up to girls
and say that they're 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll take your phone calls. Bye-bye.
You are in for it.
All right, folks. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun.
Are you ready?
Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. And the alpha males are back.
Just as delicious as you can imagine.
The alpha males are back. Boy, back. And the alpha males are back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Almost says what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a man.
And the alpha males are back.
I am a total cunt.
Can we bring back DJ Danarchy song, please?
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Danarchy.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough of a break.
That's fucking nonsense.
Hey, fuck. Reminder.
I do not have Parkinson's.
And the alpha males are...
Psych. Fuck them.
Almost says what?
What?
Almost says what?
A hell of a bank. A hell of a bank. A hell of a bank.
Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black. African. And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black.
Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keep it at 100. Can't knock the hustle.
Come on, fuck 'em.
things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday. Happy birthday to me, Jew boy.
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black. Alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black.
Come on.
To pay the price of blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy.